everyone. Good evening. Happy, happy Thanksgiving. How many things are you being grateful for right now? I've got quite a few myself, and I was just going to do a pre-record tonight, but I decided some of you are out there and probably have a lot to say about what to be grateful for, what to thank the universe for, what to be horrified about, but also to see the blessings in the middle of it. Let's talk about that tonight. My name is Veronica Entwistle, as most of you know, and this show is called Radiance by Design because I know and you know if we wake up and we can create a higher and higher frequency, then we can actually radiate out a higher potential. We can radiate out a kind of a light that actually creates the life around us and creates the light ahead of us, makes us contributors at all times. And for that, I am truly grateful. I find it's a big job, but you know what? I was caught in a huge snowstorm. I was down in San Diego at a wedding, and I had planned carefully to come home by land in Seattle by 5 o'clock to work into the family schedule and all of that. And we got all the planes were held up that day because apparently there was a major electronic breakdown of some sort. And then when we got near Seattle, everything was closed down. Holy mackerel, there were blizzards and all that kind of thing that Seattle's not used to. So I got home at midnight that night. But the interesting thing was, is it was horrendous. It was frustrating. I was tired. Other people were tired. And yet there were so many amazing blessings. Because when we went in to get a shuttle from the airport to my daughter's place in Seattle, it was interesting because you're supposed to be able to get it, and in 20 minutes you're on it. Well, we got there, and it was absolute bedlam, and the woman was dealing with a lot of people saying, I have a reservation. You've got to be able to have a solution for me. And you realize that there wasn't a solution because the shuttles were not making it through the snow, and the traffic was gridlocked for up to 6 hours along the I-5. It was a real zoo. So I get into a shuttle after about an hour and a half, and the fellow is some kind of saint. I can't believe him. There's 7 of us on the little van. And he took us around little hills, little roads. We didn't go anywhere near the major arteries. And we drove through Seattle for about 2.5 to 3 hours. We were supposed to be taken to hotels, but he took us all to our own home. And we had kind of an affectionate, chit-chatty kind of time as he cruised the back roads of snowy, snowy Seattle. So it was a real blessing because you realize in the middle of something that just doesn't work, something works just fine, doesn't it? So I still feel really blessed that here we are having a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, all of us, and we made it home. And I want to say that instead of being blocked by it all, we all got here to Bellingham, and then the big snow hit in the middle of the night when we were already here. So the blessing was greater and greater that we got. You know, we have enjoyed ourselves today, and we were all nested in, even though we had missed flight, had storms, the weather was erratic, people were horrified. We're all doing just great. There's lots and lots of blessings. The other thing I found out was that when things are chaotic like that, there are always people, there's just a few people that reach out a bit harder and really make sure other people are okay, and I experienced a lot of that. People sharing heat and warmth and a cup of tea and helping each other through the situation, and other people being absolutely grumpy and so on. But again, by radiance by design, it's interesting how when you're working on your own radiance and you really are trying to be of a higher frequency and a contributor and so on, you just start attracting people who are doing that as well. And it's almost like you pull away from the, what are they called, the madding crowds. You pull away from the frequencies that really frustrate us and hold us back. So I just want to say I'm grateful for that as a reminder. I'm grateful for the fact that in the middle of the shift, in the turmoil all over the planet, it's really worth it for us to clear out our thoughts and feelings and stand in the center of our own light and to really radiate to other people, because it can absolutely change all of the drama around you. Every one of you listening to Radiance by Design, how many are you out there today? I'd like to count it. Every one of you listening to Radiance by Design is working on yourself. and working to learn to empower yourselves and create the reality that you dream of. So we're going to talk tonight. You're going to call in, I hope. I hope there's several of you going to call in, ready, willing, and able. In the meantime, we're going to start off with a meditation to build our research center, to build our light center, where we can really emanate our light consciously and protect ourselves from the darker frequencies. Are you ready? Take a deep breath and feel that breath move you around. Good work. And now let's call in above your head, about 2 miles, a golden ball, a beautiful, bright golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And then drop a radiant filament of gold light through the upper golden ball, down through your spine, into a lower golden ball. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. Every line in that pyramid is golden. And then upside down to meet it, another four-sided pyramid. Point to point, they connect about waist height, but the lower golden ball, or the lower pyramid, meets the lower golden ball. So you've got an eight-sided figure, an octahedron. And then inside of that, you create your crystal ball, and the outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your eight-sided structure. And inside that, there you are in a star tetrahedron, which is kind of like a three-dimensional Star of David. It's very like the Merkaba. My own understanding is it isn't exactly the same as the Merkaba, but some of you might disagree with me. We can talk about that as well. Anyhow, the Merkaba is your light body that you travel dimensions with, and you can do that in a star tetrahedron too. So let's spin and spin and spin in our star tetrahedron. Remember, you've got a filament of golden light running from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. So when you're spinning in the star tetrahedron, remember you're kind of on a golden string, aren't you? Spin and spin and spin, spin and spin. And as you're spinning, look at the first magical screen. And on that magical screen, we create a movie in our mind's eye of what it is you want to become. And for me, I want to become multidimensional. I want to be coming from the heart. I want to be free within myself to create, design, and emanate that higher consciousness. Yeah. And I always feel differently when I do that. What happens to you when you do it? And what are you experiencing, or what are you trying to create there? Now wrap that in light when you feel like you're creating the beingness you want to become, and you can experience it at least a bit in your feelings. Wrap that picture in light and move to the second frame. And there you're creating what it is you want to create. For some of you, it's home and family. For some of you, it's a house. For some of you, it's paying off your bills. Some of you, it's just maybe having a child and creating a business, writing a book, writing a movie. It doesn't matter. What is it you want to create? See yourself having the resources, the ideas, the chutzpah, the enthusiasm to literally create the project you want. And as it's coming to fruition, it's coming to a head, there you are enjoying your project, loving your project, and you see the resources coming to you to absolutely fuel the ongoing vitality of that project. And you can even throw in pieces, I'm going to do this, the kinds of resources that you really need to further your project. Just see them coming in. You can name them if you want. And then because it's Thanksgiving and because we should be familiar with doing this at any given time, see yourself giving thanks for the amazing resources coming in. And you enjoy it. Wrap it in light. Wrap it in light. So that it can be an ongoing process. And over you go to the next screen. And in the third screen, we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. And in the Galactic Healing Center, we're going to have a healing team. We all have our healing team. Call them in and what it is they look like. And have them stand around. They'll encircle a beautiful healing table. And you can see them encircling that. The first person to lie on the table is, ta-da, you. So you lay on that table or sit on the table. And if you've got an issue, speak to your healing team about having help for that issue. Otherwise, just ask them what it is you need. Okay, now I'm getting some really nice answers for myself. Sometimes we should just jot down on a piece of paper what they say. That's right. And then you lie down on that table and watch what they're doing. And they're helping you. Good work. And as they help you, you can ask if there's any special messages for you. Are there any messages for you? Oh, I got a really strong message this time. About basically what I got a message about was taking care of the things that are closest and dearest to my heart. Being really retentive about that focus. So I'm going to do that. And you know, when I got that feeling inside and the team told me what it is that I needed to focus on, my whole body shifted inside as if attention left. What happened to you? What was your story there? Now wrap that scenario in light and let it permeate or percolate, and then you'll feel better and stronger in the guidance you're getting, and it will create a second. The team replicates themselves, and we have a second healing table. Now we have somebody coming in. I have a woman, an older woman, who has been through a crisis, but what she's doing is dealing with a kind of a pile-up of karmic, if you will, cellular attachment to her lineage. And in that pattern of how she's been created with that, she really is trying to get herself free of it. So we're asking this healing team for some help, for some support, as they help her free herself from that pattern, from her lineage, really. And you know, it seems to me that what they're doing is pulling strings out of her, just bringing out funny strings of energy. And we don't actually know what that means, so we're just pulling things out of her, which I think have a lot to do with her connection with her ancestral being. Good. Excellent. And it's funny because as we deal with this woman, we see them pulling and pulling fine little strings from her belly area, the second chakra, which houses the subconscious, and from her throat and from the third eye. Very deep, very strong ones. And as they pull to a certain degree, I'm going to wrap this scenario in light that it will continue. And she'll continue to feel relieved as this team works with her to help redefine what those universal compulsions, of those universal, what do you call them, when you're attached to someone, they're kind of like decrees, aren't they? How we can melt those universal decrees. And off this goes, wrapped up in light, and the scenario continues to perk over there on the right side of my vision. And let's do another one. And who comes in this time? Oh, I have here a hilarious young man. But he's having a huge, huge difficulty. He's got a back problem, and he's got a huge, huge confusion, which is not that weird that somebody with a back problem is somebody who's in a state of deep confusion. There it is, yeah. And so he sits on the table. He doesn't want to lie down, but he needs some big help with his back. And what they're doing is pushing him to see that he will actually admit that what's a deeper problem is a huge indecision in him, and that it's what it's done is made his back very, very vulnerable. He can't hold himself up the way he really believes in, can he? And then as we do, as we see them do the kind of healing energies on him, we see a big change coming, almost like he too is having an energy pulled out of his back that is giving his back a great deal of problem. But I'll tell you something, you know this, and the team is saying this, you cannot heal that if you continue with the process of sublimating your real desires, sublimating knowing yourself. So we send him light and give praise and thanks for his life and his soul's experience, and move that picture to the right side of our scenario, our galactic healing center. And how about politics? Dawn and I were talking, we were coming on to VBS Radio tonight, we're talking about, wow, the shift is really going on, the turmoil, the paradigms are really waving their flags of this is how I've been, this is how I need to go, this is what's waking me up, this is where the corruption is, how can we make all these changes? Let's take a look at the political scenario that we choose. And I believe that a lot of us are realizing that there's a huge structure way beyond what we vote on, which is running, perpetuating certain kinds of tensions, fears, angers, frustrations, conscriptions, and so on all over the globe. And it's been like that for a long time, but most of us are just waking up to it. So as we see that, it's preposterous how much dishonesty there is. But guess what? We're taught so many times that to pay attention to the fact this is the time of the shift is going to require tremendous awakening, seeing what the apocalypse is the lifting of the veil, seeing through the veil, seeing what really is going on and what kind of an illusion that we're living in, to see those really carefully. So I'm going to bring through some of that amazing kind of a salmony pink, radiant, radiant light, bring it in through the top of the head and bring it out through my hands and send rays and rays of this harmonious, invigorating, loving light to these various beings on the planet who are trying to be paradigm shifters. They're trying to bring consciousness forward, or trying to help people wake up the tinkerbells that are going, ding, wake up, everybody. There's a lot we can do about this, and we can meet the shift as if we're surfing, and we've got a great surfboard, and we've even got some wings on. So let's meet the shift with our ability to go through big changes. So if you're feeling like you're not secure on the planet at this time, you really shouldn't be in a certain way. Because if we were really secure, we would be hanging on to the way the system has been for a long time. And we're just not going to do that anymore. It's going to change and change, and it's going to be you and the entrepreneurs and the innovators and the people who really build their, what were we calling it earlier, those places of sanctity where you can create with your mind and with your heart and not be conscripted by the status quo and convention and so on anymore. You're ready to break free and create and create. So let's just send that light, that beautiful orangey fuchsia light, out to all of these different places to actually infuse those people who want to rise up and find new ways or create new ways to be on the planet, new ways that provide sustenance, home and family support, country support, city support, whatever. It's a new kind of politics. The more empowered I am, then the greater my contribution. That's what politics really is to me at this point. Has very little to do with what red and blue states or Republican, Democrat, and so on. But the adversarial attitude is what we're working against. So let's just send light, that beautiful light, to touch many, many people who are having the courage to move consciously out of the system and to create a much higher consciousness, either in the system or outside of it. Is that too complicated? Have you got that? All right, so let's just send that light all over the world, all over the globe, and have the light circle round and round the globe and then come on back in to your own chest and up out the top of your head and out into the great central sun. Good. And now come on back down and let's close off the Galactic Healing Center. Let's close it off. But remember, you and I have all the power in the world to actually recreate the way the world is working and the consciousness which is running it. So this is a very good exercise. When we're in the sacred geometric shape, you are in many ways protected, and it's giving you kind of a space away from, again, I say the madding crowds in order to find that center of your own. Now let's jump into the star tetrahedron and start spinning, 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 spinning. And let's step into this room together. Thanksgiving Day. I'm so thankful that you're out here. And I'm so thankful for your many calls over time. And the number is 888-815-9756. Who are you? What's going on in your life? Why aren't you out tonight? Or are you out? Are you sitting and having dinner, quiet dinner with your family? Are you having dinner with other people? It's a very, very wonderful celebration here in the U.S., isn't it? It's just something that many of us rejoice in our hearts and souls. And I really don't like to think that people are alone. But some of my friends, because of different circumstances, are, and they don't seem to mind it too much. But if you're there alone, call in, 888-815-9756. If you're there with other people, call in, 888-815-9756. I'm doing these, I'm begging for callers tonight kind of routine, so call me. So let's see, what else will we talk about? There is so much to be thankful for. And when we talk about the shift, you know, I've been doing all these wonderful interviews, meeting some terrific people on paradigm shifters, and I've learned a lot about it. And we're talking about the first of my television series. It features Swami Beyond Ananda, and the reason for that is because he's funny and it's really easy to spend time listening to him. And another reason is that he's absolutely brilliant. But he and Bruce Lipton are very sure that humanity is undergoing a cellular change, DNA change, when he talks about moving from, we're in the chrysalis of change, like the caterpillar who begins to come apart at the seams. He begins to destroy himself. And as he does, then there's a new phase in the caterpillar, which is a chrysalis phase, where then the dominance is of a different kind of cell called the imaginal cells. And with those imaginal cells, there's a creation from the caterpillar to a winged one. It's sort of interesting, isn't it? And as Swami says, well, look, caterpillars are really cute too. But it's not that, it's that the butterfly that it turns into becomes a really powerful symbol of beauty and transformation for a lot of us. And what they claim is that we're actually, on a cellular level, going through the kinds of changes that we can become one who is, well, what they're calling it is spontaneous evolution. That's the name of the book that they co-wrote. But what they're saying is that we can choose and create and design a much more evolved form of ourselves. It's a very exciting thought. And as we all talk about the shift and all the pros and cons of the shift, I mean, sometimes it just seems like things are getting murkier and darker out there. And all of a sudden you see, even like at my little ride home from the airport the other night, all of a sudden you see so many amazing miracles going on. People who have terminal cancer, fifth stage ovarian cancer, and suddenly she's all better. People who have all kinds of crises, whether they're financial or physical or spiritual even, where all of a sudden everything is better. It is really quite amazing. So it'll be the darkest dark, and then boom, the lightest. And many are talking about how we're coming through a time where instead of living the polarities, the polarized aspects of our life, instead of living like that, we're trying to learn to be in the now, and by staying in the now, instead of being polarized, we're kind of embodying all facets of the same situation. It's a very interesting time. So what do you think? Do you think we're going to spontaneously evolve? I love that. Know why? Because it seems like it's an awful lot less work. But one of the pieces of the work that we have to do, and anybody that I've talked to who's working on the shift says the same thing, that one of the big things about the shift is that if you and I aren't working on it, what does the shift mean anyway? It's supposed to be a time where the frequencies are moving in such and such a way, and the influences that are coming from the universe are coming in such a way that we will catapult ourselves from one way of being into the other. And anybody I talk to about the shift says, well, there's a variety. Some of them say the shift already started to happen in 2005 or 2000 or in the 90s. And they talk about it as if it's like a fait accompli, something that's already happened. And others are saying the shift is happening, or another way to put it is that the potential for the big shift, which is a movement from being kind of conscripted by convention into being someone who is self-styled, self-designing, and really and truly learning to create her reality and catapulting herself or himself into a much bigger version of who they are. It's really exciting. But if you want to do that, if that's what's really going on, and you want to participate in it, and you want to pole vault your life into the life of your dreams, you have to choose it. And how do you choose it? You choose it by, my understanding, by releasing all the things that impede us, hold us back, and so on. We choose it from that kind of thing, and it's not necessarily easy, because what happens, one of the things that's been my bugaboo and many of the rest of you, is that we have so much media stuff being pumped at us. Have you ever noticed that? And in the media, there's always this like, oh my gosh, even in the big Seattle storm, oh my gosh, if you listen to the radio, we were all doomed, right? It was so incredibly bad. Well, some of us were kind of winging around. Just that the news media or the big media stuff that comes out is always telling you how awful it's going to be. We're going to have snow, and it's going to be really terrible, and nobody's going to be able to get around, and people are getting around listening to this. But bottom line is they're pumping in a kind of a vibration of fear. And if you want to take part in the shift, if you want to consciously learn to be someone who moves into her divine purpose or really creates the reality he wants and so on, you can't live in fear. If we're in fear all the time, guess what? We're quivering, and our incentives are blocked. Our intuitions get blocked by the tension of our fear. It's really quite interesting, isn't it? And yet it's the fear that's really been marketed, partly because it sets our juices flowing. And as it sets our juices flowing, there's kind of an addictive feeling in the body-mind. We love the thrill of the trauma. And apparently people really eat that for dinner. So again, going back to the shift, if you want to participate with playing for the shift or really creating the shift, you got to watch your fears, bring up your fears. My guides always put it really simply. Stop. Call up your fear. Notice where it is in your body and exaggerate it, you know. Notice where it is in your body. Create as much of it in your awareness as you can. And then I command total release of it now. You can move through your fears very quickly. They're kind of like a wood pile. You start climbing up on a bunch of pieces and then pull another piece out. And whole thing shifts, literally shifts. So I'm saying to you that you got to deal with your fears. All right, I'm going to do my phantom readings out there to see what's going on with some people. Okay, all right, I see what's going on. What my guides and angels are showing me is there's a couple of you that are in major confusion right now because of the changes that are coming, and you really don't know what to do with them. People are losing their jobs, they're not secure, they're afraid to take a chance on another job because they're afraid then they'll be backed out of this job that they already have, even though it treats them badly. I mean, it's really an interesting time where people are being conscripted to think small. Monies aren't as available and so on. But remember during the Depression, during the Great Depression, some people made humongous sums of money. And how did they do it? They just did it. They didn't believe everything that they were told and how terrible it was for everybody. That doesn't mean that we don't go with compassion. You need to always have compassion for the sufferings of other people. And guess what? You and I don't know what the root of anybody's suffering is just by observing them. So we really have to have compassion on that level, to love each other and have compassion when someone's doing something that's very uncomfortable and you don't understand it. It's really a great exercise to drop in, try to imagine feeling what they feel, and then go, huh, you got to get to a point where you actually understand, and that's where you get a certain amount of compassion. And from there, it's easier to be loving and also to release that polarizing stress that goes on between people. But in any case, I started talking about doing a reading on these. I see several women who are extremely confused right now. One of them in particular has a tremendous light that is trying to come up. But what's going to require in her is that she move out of a position that's quite secure in order to, and it looks like that position that's quite secure is actually being challenged. So I sound like I'm saying two things at once, but it's like one part of her is working and being where she is because she's really feeling like that's her security. But the other part of her is screaming to expand. Have you ever been like that? And in that screaming to expand, there's this funny dichotomy. It's rattling around inside of her and making her just really confused. She gets this funny headache. It just goes up the side of the head, probably on the right, although it could be mirroring. And it seems to rattle her teeth, and she can't figure out what that's from. But we're laughing. We're going, okay, look at you. I want everybody at home to drop inside and say, okay, what am I doing that I think it's okay for me to sell myself out for? Oh, it's security. Oh, I see. Well, if I can only do it till I'm 65, then I will be safe, and then I'll have retirement. No guarantee, ladies and gentlemen. What happened to the last great big dump with the whole mortgage scam? A lot of people who were that lost their entire retirements in that one. That's been a very difficult situation. So if you want to be other than who you are and work just for the security, you might want to look at that, because what is the real security? What is it you take with you when you die? You know, you take what of your real self you found, don't you? So I'm looking at my one woman here, the one I said is confused. I'm looking at three other women who are, this is not to avoid you men, it's just saying that here it shows up this little enclave of women. And they're all living the same game. And they're all really perching on each other to make each other feel safe and secure and validated as they do the work that they don't necessarily love. Oh, my goodness, it's very frustrating. And when we're talking about the shift, that's not how to approach the shift. How one would approach the shift is going inside and do something like, if you don't know how to meditate or if you don't have a meditational practice, if you do that first. But if you don't have one, do something like a few minutes of really rapid panting breath and shift your frequencies. And then ask yourself, okay, what is it I would do if I could do anything I wanted? What is it do I really love? And then also shift it over to the other side. What am I doing every day? Do I love it? What's my motivation? Even just asking those questions back and forth, I would wager, I guess, particularly the first woman I started talking about, you're going to find that your affiliation or your tenacity, your ability to hang on to that job, which you don't like at all, in order to be secure, is going to suddenly wane. And because you've got some savings there, girl. Because you've got a little bit of a buffer zone, you're going to give yourself room to begin to expand and explore the real job, the job that you truly want, which I would consider to be a job that's in your dharma or in your soul's drive to produce something in this lifetime. That's where you're going to find satisfaction. That's where you're going to find not only satisfaction, but self-awareness. It's very exciting. When I'm looking at you, I smile because I see it's almost like from head to toe, there's this funny little line that runs through your body, splitting the sides of your being that are so very different. But as we talk, there's the humor in that line that splits your body. And she begins to move around and let you integrate both sides at once. It's quite exciting. So I just want to say to all of you that when you discover where it is you're resisting your Dharma, maybe even tidbits about your Dharma, things will start shifting for you. You don't really have to do everything, but you do have to kind of itemize things. Even when I say that, I laugh because there are some people that say, they'll tell you stories about all these people are intentioning and so on, and yet I am the kind of person that somebody just, this is stories that I hear from other people, I'm the kind of person that somebody just comes up and offers me a different job and I take it and that's how I find out what my path is. So even when I'm telling you to itemize things and sort it out this way and that, I realize there's a lot of serendipity. There's a lot of kind of fun, strange things out there that happen to coax you and pull you like a little horse and cart onto your own path. So don't just stick to one way, but just remember, keep your intentions strong, but also do not deny where you're split inside. That's what I was really seeing, especially in the first woman. The other two women are also kind of scattered at times when they're pushed to find out who they are. But all of you could find out who you are by knowing what you don't like doing and what you don't want to do. And hey, there's another thing, is that we can't go around just, I don't believe anyway, we can't go around just doing what we want to do. A lot of things that have to be done, we don't care if we do them. We don't like them very much. But you do care if you're sovereign over your own life. And so sometimes doing the things we don't like is just a, what, is a part of just doing whatever it is that you're committed to accomplishing so you can get where you want to go in this life. So I'm not saying only do what you like, which would be very ideal. Well, maybe it wouldn't. Maybe we wouldn't push ourselves. So that was a lot of a ramble, but I liked talking to my lady there because her situation isn't that different from a lot of other people. Now let's see who else we can look at. Yeah, there's a lot of injustice out there. But some people are talking to me about being treated with ageism. That means I know a woman who's in a big office, and she's the oldest one there, and she's never been particularly welcomed. But they're always gathering and trying to push her out. Now, you and I know we could find out if my friend, my woman, my mythical character I'm talking about, is, I'm thinking she might be exaggerating, she might be creating problems. But my understanding is that it's mostly about her age and about the fact that people are rather cliquish and they prefer to have young people there. So now the thing is, let's take a look at that as an example. She's a very wise woman. She's writing books. She knows a lot about the law. She is a very strong person who can break down problems and put them in order of priority and how to do them. She has a number of amazing talents. I call it a Virgo-esque talent. She's not a Virgo, but you know. And so her deal is, does she just hang in there until she can just legitimately retire? Or can she find another job at this point in her life? And at the time of the shift, what would you do? Would you just hang in to be secure? It seems like it's not necessarily the wisest thing to do, because if you do that, you're kind of stifling a lot of the very potent clues to your own Dharma, the very potent ways of creating pathways for you to express your true self. In any case, my friend went off and started looking for other jobs, and I'm proud of her at 64 years old to start finding a new avenue for herself. And that's also a part of the shift where you have to grab hold of the reality of your situation, even though we're all living in an illusion. Do you ever ask yourself what that means? I know that it's we live in an illusion. A lot of it's metaphorical, and I like to work in frequencies, vibrations, and so on. But bottom line is you have to look at your approach to the earth plane. You have to look at your approach to the physical reality and make some changes. And those changes, I mean, either that or you have to just live it out and be frustrated. And those changes start with your intentioning and with your building a picture and a scenario and your ability to release the things that you're doing wrong or the things that you're just doing to put up with stuff. You have to find a way, we all do, to release our attachment to those. Oh, I just am going to do it for security. Security isn't what it used to be. It's not the same thing. And if you think it's security to give yourself away, you might find down the end that the cost of that is really high. Anyway, when I look at my friend, I see that in a wee while, she's going to have a job opportunity. And she's probably going to be frustrated in a way because she's going to be given a little bit more responsibility than what she had in mind. But know what? It's like at her age, with the whole ageism thing that was going on around her, it's going to be like she found a platform, and from that platform, she leaps into a world that's absolutely changing. And instead of living in a world of polarities and judgmental, compartmentalized attitudes, she seems to be in one that's very, very creative and seems to require a lot of teamwork. Very different scenario. Anyway, so bless her heart. If you know who you are out there, know I'm talking about you and we're sending you love. Love helps a lot of situations. So let's see, back to Thanksgiving. It's funny because a lot of us are frustrated with the turmoil on the planet. And I'm being normal. Oh, goody, I'll let you talk and I won't finish my story. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
I just wanted you to check in with my energy to see that I feel like I'm opening up and making a shift.
You
are. I'm trying to invite more prosperity.
I think I talked to you a few weeks ago, didn't I?
No, this is my first time calling you.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. What's your first name?
Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. You have a big picture of what it is you want to be and do. I love that. You have a really beautiful, soft, big picture. But you're holding, you know, your chakras, I'll bet you. You're holding in the second and third chakra in a really tense way. I don't know if you have a tummy ache because you're talking on global radio, darling. Do you have a tummy ache?
I
haven't
had stomach issues the last few days. I just thought it was all the junk I've been eating.
Well, get over it now. I'm teasing you. But it's very interesting because we could take that in a cycle and say, well, why are you eating junk right now? And it's hurting your tummy. Why does your body mind want that? Is the stomach being hurt a way to show you that you're kind of controlling your own empowerment and keeping it back? You see what I'm saying? It's a funny metaphorical cycle in a way, because that's the first thing I saw is that it's as if your stomach is actually a fist holding you back in, and yet you have a beautifully expanding reality around you. It's lovely, actually. And you are going to become much more spiritually awake. You've got a meditation you're doing, some sort of sound, some chant or something?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, there's one I do in the mornings.
Okay, well, it's working.
Okay, good.
And I'm just seeing that there's something moving through you that's coming through that. And we're saying to you to take a look. When this is for everybody at home, where you get that confined aspect to your energy fields, and which in your case right now is in the stomach, go right into it and make your sounds into that, because it's talking to you. You could even say it's talking to you about why you chose to have those foods or those treats. Of course, it's holiday time. But, you know, why do we choose to have those? And doesn't it thwart our personal power at a time when you're really trying to move into that? And it's not serious, and, oh, you go to the back of a class. It's not like that. But I tease you. And it is
well,
a message.
Part of it is because, you know, it's around at work. It's not stuff I normally eat, but it's there and available. So I don't know. You're right. Is this an excuse to not maintain control and maintain my choices? Because
well, and one of the things about you is you want to get bigger, but you're kind of timid about it. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that?
Yes. I am actually one of those people who was in a position, and a very comfortable position, and just accepted another position.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
So,
laughing. I was like, that was just me a couple of weeks ago. But I was kind of pushed by my supervisor, so I have to say. And based on all the synchronicities, this position came up, and my supervisor was just like, just give me your resume. And I said, oh, all right. And I interviewed and got offered the position. So.
Are you scared? When do you change it?
No, not anymore. I'm excited.
I think it's going to go really well. But also, your job isn't a spiritual job, is it?
No.
But you are on a very intense spiritual track. Do you know that?
I'm hoping.
No, I know you are. It's sort of like a beautiful evanescence, a kind of a light radiating off of you. But it's still locked down a little bit, but it'll come open. So I'm very excited for you. You're in a big, big shift, darling.
Awesome.
Isn't that great? Are you going to have a good holiday?
I am. And I'm. Can I ask you another question about weight loss?
Of course you can.
And why mm-hmm. that's such an issue for me?
Mm-hmm. Is that the question?
Yes.
Because, again, can I ask your age, Tanya?
Yes, 44.
Okay. Because one of the things about you is that you're extreme. Just a second. I'm going back into you being a kid for some reason. You are extremely sensitive, and you have learned an almost the hard way to keep yourself from feeling that sensitivity, as if the sensitivity could wash through you and weaken you terribly. And I feel like you, the weight is. It's like it's part of the stomach that's tight that I was talking about. It kind of keeps you from being that sort of sensitivity. Almost like if you felt that you were as fully sensitive as you really are, it would somehow kill you or something. And I would say that's the reason that your weight is fluctuating. You also have a good solid anger, which you have a right to, that you don't release, and that would help you. If you'd release that, you wouldn't need to numb it with food.
Okay. Interesting, because that's what came up when I was doing your meditation. I saw
some
anger.
Good. Well, that's great,
yeah.
Honey. You should just, you know, should. You should you should do what I say, but I'm saying welcome the anger, because so many of us don't know we have that sort of thing. Welcome it. Bring it up. Dance with it. Talk to it. Ask it for its advice. Ask it for what it wants.
Yeah, that was interesting, because I thought that I didn't know it was still there. And so when I did that meditation, which was awesome, thank you very much, because this is the first time I've ever been able to really listen to your show.
Welcome.
That came up, I was just like, that was magical.
Well, I want to say to you, blessings for the holidays, but also blessings on your new job. You're going to have a lot of fun. But it doesn't stop there, Tanya. You're going to start growing like mad. And part of the lesson tonight, if I really do even have a lesson tonight, is keep aware that we're in the time of the shift, so making choices on behalf of your own dharma is going to work for you really a lot better than making decisions on behalf of security. And you've already blown part of that apart, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, I'm proud of
yes.
you. So happy Thanksgiving. So much to be thankful for.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Go ahead and get mad.
Okay, so. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? That was a good call, Tanya. Good for you. I don't remember what I was going to say. Hello? I don't remember what I was going to talk about before, but I really loved the way Tanya and her body presented themselves, that she's taking a lot of steps to, it takes a lot of courage, doesn't it, to have the step to take, to step out of the security and do what's truly in your heart and soul. And we talk about foods, we talk about weight and so on, or even being really skinny. There are reasons for that. And it seems like keeping one's power locked in somehow, kind of soothing it down, is going to make you safe. Part of the thing is other people don't always like it when a person's powerful. So we do some of it to please other people as well. And I'm saying to you, don't try to change everything. Just observe it. What am I doing? What does my stomach feel like? What has that got to do with my personal power? Where am I giving my personal power to others? Because I had a little bit of information come to me in the middle of that meditation. Well, you know, the first section where we're in the Galactic Healing Center and we're working on ourselves with that team. And they were talking to me about that as well in my own life, is to really know what it is you're doing and what it is you want to be doing. Those are the things to find out. So here we are. We're at a time of the shift. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm so glad. This is the beginning of the wonderful holiday season, and yet there's so much turmoil on the planet. And there are people being, there's so much corruption being revealed. And somewhere we need to get into the truth of who we are, see things for what they really are, and find in it a light and clear pathway. Sounds kind of like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Like a contradiction. But I don't believe it is. I really believe that that's what the shift is all about, is the frequencies are moving up and our opportunity to see the veils lifting, to see what's really going on, is going to meet our ability to reach a lot more of our potency as human beings. I really think as we wake up and we learn about, in our body-mind connections, we learn about changing our cellular structure, which reminds me, I don't know who my guest is this coming week coming up, but the week after is going to be Hyla Kass, who's a doctor, and she has a lot of research out there. She's working a lot on people with brain chemistry. Because she, like Daniel Amen and like Braverman and others, is really big in brain chemistry, amino acids, and helping people deal with nutritional problems, hormonal problems, dealing with addictions of all kinds in a very natural way. She has a lot to say on finding your own potential in actually healing yourself. And on a deep physical level as well. We have many styles of doing that, but it's very exciting to talk to an MD. Now, Jackie Salvitti is running an old show tonight. I don't know which one she's chosen, so we're not going to be on together tonight. We'll send her blessings, and those of you who are connected with Jackie, many blessings, and thank you for listening. And I will see you on Tuesday night. I'm not sure who is going to be my interviewee for Tuesday night, but I will send out my flyer. If you'd like to get a flyer from me, if you'd like to get a session from me, meet with me over a session. If you have suggestions for Paradigm Shifters, which is on at 8 o'clock Tuesday nights, and it's an interview show, I'd love to hear from you or even feedback on this show. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, let's all take a deep breath and call in that amazing light that comes in because the frequencies are moving faster and faster in the universe, aren't they? Let's call in that beautiful light that includes these higher frequencies. Call them in through the top of your head. And then on an out-breath, breathe them out through your heart and your hands to all those beings who are in our Radiance by Design community. And it's filled with love, and know that we're all connected. And let's do it once again and breathe it to the whole world. Sending our frequencies of love to the whole world. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you've had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving and that you've got lists and lists of things that you can be grateful for. I send you much love. Good night.